Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story? Hey everybody out there in Weirdsville, how you doing? It's me, your host, one of your hosts, Adam Beebe, and with me is your other one of your hosts, Barry Johnston. Hey Barry.
What's up, man?
Not a whole lot, man. Just, you know, doing the things that I'd be doing all the time that I don't know what I'd be doing. But anyway, how you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm real good.
And still brewing?
Yeah, still brewing. And speaking of beer, one of my favorite kinds of beer is comes from the UK, which leads me to our guest that we've got today. He is a guy that wrote in. He found us on the on the podcast, I guess, through whatever channel he gets his podcasting through. He found us and he hit us up and said, hey, I got a story and I want to write in and I want to present it to you guys.
That's right. Now, this is exciting. This is historical for our podcast. We have finally our first write-in story. We've had somebody who's written a story for us to read on air. So, you know, as we, obviously we've got Jeff here with us and he's going to be reading this story. It's from a man named Andrew Dexter in Wales. And so he's also our first international guest. So this is really cool. I'm really excited about this.
Yeah. How did he get in touch with us?
He got in touch with us on, I believe he may have noticed us first on Twitter, and then he sent us a message on the Facebook page.
Okay.
And so, and he sent this document that is his story, and I glanced over it, and I'm like, oh, whoa, I don't want to read too much, because I don't want to know the story. I want to be, I still want to have that fresh reaction. Yeah. That's why we have Jeff, you know, to be the voice of the listener and read the write-in stories and reviews and such. So, yeah, I contacted him back and I was like, hey, do you want to be on or do you want this to be read? And he said, well, you know, I can't do the interview, but feel free to read it on and discuss on the air and just let me know when it's coming up. So here it is.
Cool.
So, Jeff, you ready to do this, my friend?
Yeah, let's do this, guys.
All right. I just double fist punched the air. I'm excited. I also had a big cup of coffee, so that may have something to do with it. So, in your own time, sir.
Okay, here we go.
Whenever you're ready.
My family and I lived at a large property called Gladstone Villa in the former mining town of Bargoed, in Caerphilly County, borough of the South Wales Valleys in the UK. From 1969 to 1978, we experienced activity that simply defied rational explanation, such as lights going off and on. We witnessed electrical cables being pulled, and my grandfather Bill claimed to have had a glass bottle thrown towards him as he entered the main bedroom, missing him by inches.
Damn.
I didn't personally see this myself, but I still recall the time he came from there with the broken bottle in his hands, and he told us what happened. Hmm. There was the occasional sighting, but this was very rare indeed. So rare that in all the 9 years I was there, I never once saw it, but I did hear it many times in the bedroom. It's still worth mentioning that my mother, Caroline, saw it on at least two occasions. There were also regular footsteps being heard in the main bedroom every evening. Sometimes during the day, when we'd all be downstairs watching TV, one of us would turn the volume down to hear it more clearly, And my grandfather Bill would point to the ceiling and say, "He's by there." And "He's by there now." Trying to make out where the footsteps were coming from exactly. There were 5 family members of the family that were living at Gladstone Villa. My grandfather, William Higgs, known as Bill to family and friends, a retired miner who worked at the local colliery. And for those of you who don't know, colliery...
Okay, go ahead. You were getting ready to explain.
A colliery is a coal mine plus all the buildings and equipment connected with it. My grandfather was a short, bald man who liked nothing more than to listen to his country and western LPs, Johnny Cash, Glen Campbell, and so on.
He sounds like a really cool grandpa.
Yeah, I love that.
He was great grandfather.
That's awesome.
He also liked westerns on TV that starred John Wayne or Clint Eastwood. My maternal grandmother was Rita Higgs. She was also a short woman who was a housewife, and she was completely a teetotaler, but she liked to smoke cigarettes.
Why, I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah.
She also liked collecting garden gnomes and liked watching soap operas on TV. My mother, Caroline Dexter, met my father at the local bakehouse in Baldwin Street. She was day shift regularly, and my father worked the night shift. He would stay behind to make her a cup of tea and chat. They dated for 3 years before they got married on Monday, the 1st of April, 1968. The Beatles were number one at the time with Lady Madonna. Very apt.
Love it.
I'm loving the personal history.
Yeah, it's great
that he's given us here, and also the musical notes, because you know, obviously with us, that's a nice touchstone.
Puts you right in that time frame, man.
For real. I'm already, Lady Madonna is going through the back of my mind, and I'm seeing, you know, this young English or Welsh couple. I apologize. You know, having tea and, you know, like in a romantic movie, you know, cut scenes and everything, you know, just everything flashing together. So carry on.
My parents did not get a place of their own, but they decided to live with my grandparents at Gladstone Villa, which was in Cardiff Road. I was born on the 24th of August, 1969, when everyone was listening to the latest number one on the charts, Honky Tonk Woman by the Rolling Stones.
Another classic.
Nice, nice, man.
It was soon after that my mother said strange things started to happen. I was just a baby when she said it all started off rather quietly, like small tapping here and there, but nothing too noticeable. But in time, the activity gradually increased. One time, my mother said the family heard a noise like someone jumping down from the attic and onto the landing. Naturally thinking that someone was trying to break in, they went to see what was going on. When they got there, they found no one, but the hatch to the attic was open. Whatever it was eventually occupied itself in the main bedroom, which incidentally was my grandparents' room. It soon made its presence felt by walking around the bedroom, and the sounds of dragging could be heard.
Wow.
One day, my mother went upstairs to the bedroom to get my father up for work so he could get ready for his night shift. When she got to there, she was confronted by the sight of the ironing board placed on my father's torso as he slept. When he awoke...
That caught me off guard. So, yeah.
So there's an ironing board laying on his chest while he's sleeping.
That is correct.
Right. Wow.
That is correct.
That's bizarre.
When he awoke, he was astonished to find the situation he was in. He suspected my grandfather Bill was playing pranks. But in time, he knew my grandfather was not responsible for it. And he told his work friends what was going on there, and it got around town that Gladstone Villa was haunted.
Hmm. That's
That's crazy, man.
It is crazy, dude. I've not heard of anything like that. Now, I've heard of whenever people have passed out because, you know, they've had too much to drink, and then you play that game of what can we stack
right
on or, our yeah, friends,
right.
You know?
stack or write or whatever.
But, yeah. but yeah. I don't think that this seems to be the case. So.
No, a ghost that needed its laundry ironed or something. It's crazy.
Interesting. Well, you know, they're all sheeps, right? So it's just
yeah. That's crazy. Yeah.
My parents. Oh, excuse me.
I was going to say you never see a wrinkly ghost. So.
That's true. It's like.
My parents separated in 1972, and my father left Gladstone Villa. But it wasn't because of what was going on at the villa. It was just a breakdown of the marriage. They finally divorced on the 25th of April in 1975. The British band The Bay City Rollers were number one in the charts with Bye Bye Bay.
Fantastic.
Again, very apt.
Yeah.
For real. Especially now, since, you know, Bay is the new baby or whatever, you know.
Yeah, the new slang.
Yeah, hate it. But, but
well, that just shows what's interesting about this, that part of it also to me is that he stated that that they weren't moving because of the entity or whatever.
Right.
That they just sort of were okay with that. And a lot of people are. You know what I mean? It's like where I think that I would be freaked out by something like that. Some people are just like, okay, you know, it's just part of the deal. Part of the deal. So that that's interesting.
It also, I wonder if, like, he experienced this. They both experience something, as, you know, at some point. Whereas a lot of the people that we've discussed, or we've talked to about this, where there's a couple that one will see all this stuff and the other won't.
Mm-hmm.
And the other, and the one who does it usually tries to antagonize, especially the men try to antagonize the whatever it is that's there. So,
So
I guess it doesn't seem like it. That was the case here, which is interesting to note as well.
Definitely.
So, all right.
The fact that Bye Bye Bay was number one in the charts would have been amusing, except for the fact of what was going on at Gladstone Villa. I was barely 2 years old, so I have no memory of my father living at the Gladstone Villa, but he would come to see me every Saturday to take me to my paternal grandparents and the local cinema. Great times, even though the paranormal activity still continued. As I got older, I too witnessed the activity for myself. I actually saw the poltergeist activity for myself. I saw the electrical cables being pulled by unseen forces.
Ooh.
I saw the lights going off and on. And when my grandfather Bill would play records on the Sundays, as the family did dinner, it would turn the music off. It took exception to the British band Slade and any religious TV shows my grandfather Rita would watch.
That's this great.
This ghost was good with the religious TV shows, which is ironic there because most time you play something religious, the ghost spirits don't respond well to it.
Yeah.
But it's also a fan of glam rock.
That's so great.
Johnny Cash, over Glenn Campbell, down with some glam rock.
That is hilarious, man.
Fantastic.
The local police were also involved. I remember them popping their heads into the attic, hesitating and not going in, but they suggested it was my father playing a prank on the family.
Huh.
A family friend, Miss Ivy France, she was more of a friend to my grandmother Rita. She was very skeptical when my grandmother told her that Gladstone Villa was haunted. I can still remember Ivy going into the main bedroom looking around and saying it was vibration from the traffic outside causing it. But she was soon to change her mind when she experienced it for herself. It was then she suggested contacting the local press and a medium. The medium was John Matthews. And when he came to Gladstone Villa, he started by asking the family questions. He then began by challenging the spirit to perform by knocking on the ceiling, and sure enough, it responded by knocking back at him. At some point, John went into a trance and tried to make contact with it, but he failed to get a name. He later confirmed the obvious, that there was indeed a presence there, and it was an earthbound spirit, and that it had unfinished business.
Huh. Interesting.
Interesting. Jinx. Yeah. You owe me a Coke, sir.
You had more Slade records to listen to.
Yeah, dude.
Wow.
A priest by the name of Graham Jones was called to Gladstone Villa. He blessed the property, and after a few prayers, he duly left, and it was quiet for a few short months after that. No incidents. But it did return, and with a vengeance this time, and it decided to show itself. One evening, my grandfather Bill, my mother Caroline, and I were watching television. My grandmother Rita was reading a book. When all of a sudden, my mother just so happened to look to her left, and she saw the full solid figure of a monk standing by the doorway. We did not see this as we were otherwise occupied, but she later described it in detail as a monk in typical brown habit, complete with a hood over the head, so she didn't see the face. It sounded very much like a 16th century Benedictine monk.
Hmm. Huh.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, I wonder, and maybe this will be addressed soon in the in the letter there. I wonder if there's any history of monks at that, you know,
yeah,
in that location. General vicinity. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Hopefully so. Let's hear more.
Fred Davies was a friend of my grandfather Bill. They worked together at the local colliery, and he would visit most evenings. Fred was a slim man who would wear a flat cap and glasses and smoked homemade cigarettes that hung from his lips when he spoke.
Wow.
He would sit in his favorite chair by the open fire and talk to the family and watch TV with us. One day, Fred was with us in his usual place by the open fire. I was quietly playing with my toys on the sideboard. It was quiet when all of a sudden there was one very loud bang. It was so loud that Fred ducked his head and ran to my mother for comfort. I ran to my mother for comfort. Pardon me.
I'm glad you cleared that up. I'm sure Andrew is glad you cleared that up. That for a second just gave me such a great mental image of Fred with his cigarette dangling still running to Andrew's mother there for some comfort.
When it was all quiet again, we all went upstairs. My grandfather, Bill, would always be first, and I would be last. When we would go to that bedroom, we found nothing that could account for the noise. Fred later told us he ducked his head as he thought it was going to come through the ceiling. Fred told us of another experience he had at Gladstone Villa. My grandfather, Bill, liked to look out the landing window that overlooked Cardiff Road and into Bargoed Town Center. This time, Fred joined him, and he said he felt something brush past him. When he looked, there was nothing there.
Wow. Ooh. Wow.
I can just imagine them all creeping up the stairs like in a Scooby-Doo cartoon.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, hands kind of up like that weird creeping thing that quietly tiptoeing up.
Tiptoeing.
You know,
high knee tiptoe.
Yeah, definitely a high knee tip there. In descending order, you know, although I see Grandpa in the lead, a little bit shorter, then Fred with his flat cap and dangling cigarette, and then everybody in descending order down to little Andrew at the time. So that's great.
The most frightening experience I had was when I was alone in that particular bedroom. I made sure the light was on. It was very quiet. I was lying on the bed facing the window that overlooked Cardiff Road when I suddenly felt something heavy pounce on the bottom of the bed. I heard the bed springs go just once, and I felt the bed bounce. I didn't look straight away, but when I did, there was nothing there.
God,
I went down.
That'd be freaky, dude.
That would be freaky
to feel that kind of a pressure and nothing, you know. It's just, I don't know. That's freaky, dude. Sorry, continue.
I went downstairs to tell my family, and we all went back up. We saw distinctive paw marks on the bed, like that of an animal.
Whoa.
I later found out that my grandfather Bill had a black Labrador dog named Tovey, who died shortly before I was born.
Wow. Huh. Now, and
that's fascinating.
That is.
You don't hear much about animal spirit. I mean, you know, not many ghost stories that involve an animal. It's usually like a demon, or that's what I thought when we were reading that. I'm thinking we got a dark entity here.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't sure because, like, it sounded to me, I mean, definitely it sounded to me like an animal would, but I was thinking more along the lines of like a cat, but he also seemed to sound more like a bigger than a cat, so yeah, that would be
some weight to it.
Yeah.
Interesting. Wow.
Huh.
The layers, man. We got layers going on.
This is great. Andrew, thank you for writing. This has been fantastic.
Seriously, yeah. Fantastic.
My grandfather Bill and my mother Caroline claimed to have heard a baby crying there. But as I didn't hear that at the time, I took very little notice of what they said. The activity got so bad that my mother, grandmother, and I slept downstairs with the lights on.
Damn.
It was only my grandfather Bill who was supposedly brave enough to sleep there. It was then that he himself had yet another experience in there. He told us that he was lying on the bed when all of a sudden he couldn't move. He couldn't even shout out to us to have us help him. This could well have been sleep paralysis,
but
he said he heard something in the room with him.
We've heard those stories.
Yep.
You know,
I bet it was a shadow person or something,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, very well could have been.
It was.
That's crazy.
My grandmother Rita had her own experiences. One day, she went upstairs into that room to get my grandfather up when she saw the boiler door open wide by itself. She didn't stay there to see what it was because she rushed out of that room.
Smart woman.
Yeah, after everything else has been going on, I don't blame her a lick.
Yeah.
Another occasion, she said she had the sensation of something pulling from under her foot, like she had stepped on a gown.
Oh.
Wow.
That's weird.
We had the ghost for so long that my grandmother Rita gave it a pet name. She called him Johnny, and my grandfather Bill would shout out that name to provoke a reaction, but nothing would happen.
Hmm. Huh. And again, there it is. It's always the man who's provoking the spirits.
Ivy Francis's son Charles got to hear about what was going on at Gladstone Villa. And he came along with some friends, and with my family's permission, they went into the bedroom. It frightened one of his friends, and to this day, one of his friends still says it was a spooky place.
Hmm. I'd like to hear more about what had happened there.
My mother Caroline had an operation on her and ended up on crutches, which helped support her. The local nurse would tend to her foot, and my mother was set on the chair when the nurse came this day, and the nurse knelt down to tend to her, and she told my mother not to hold her. My mother looked at my grandmother Rita in amazement, as she was not holding the nurse at all. My mother made her own conclusions that it was Johnny the ghost that was holding her, so as not for the nurse to hurt her.
Wow. This is a very active entity. Very.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It could be several entities, you know?
Yeah.
Because we've had at least the one visualization of the monk.
Yeah.
And then there's the dog or the animal print kind of thing that he speculates is the dog. And, yeah. And then all this other like prankster kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. Of course, in this part of the world, there's lots of history, you know, too.
Yeah,
there's lots of time that's passed and lots of things that have happened in those areas, you know.
Yeah, and who knows how long there's been, if not that particular house there, villa there on that land, but, I mean, could have been stuff there before.
Yeah.
Long before.
Andrew, if you're listening, it would be awesome if you could take a picture or something of this, of where this is, maybe the town itself or whatever, and send us some pics. That'd be great, man. I just, in my head, I have a visual, and I'd like to match that if I could.
The only time I heard the ghost being vocal was the time we were all in the room. One of us wanted to use the bathroom, and we couldn't get in there. My grandfather Bill said, "He's behind there!" And I heard quite distinctively the sound of Gregorian chant, and that was it. Whoa. Nothing more.
That's spooky, dude.
Yeah, dude. And it's Gregorian chant is, out of context, is always spooky.
Yeah.
If you're even in context, even in a church, it's a little bit spooky. But outside, you know, that's weird. And especially since they saw that friar and man.
Yeah, that's crazy. Wow.
So we left in the summer of 1978 when two local businessmen bought the property and Gladstone Villa was eventually converted into a small hotel and its name changed to Red's Park Hotel. On the night before we moved, there was one final incident we experienced, as if it knew we were going, and that was its way of saying goodbye. My mother, grandmother, and I got ready to go to sleep. The light was still on, and then we heard the doorknob turning, as if someone was trying to get in. At first, I naturally suspected my grandfather Bill, as he was the only one who slept upstairs in that room, and we figured it may have been him playing a prank. I called out to him, but there was no answer. No laugh that would give him away. We then heard our belongings that were packed in the hallway being thrown around. The next day, we asked my grandfather Bill if it was him playing a joke on us. He insisted it wasn't him, and to this very day, I believe him.
Wow.
Man.
Man, I wonder if that new hotel is haunted. I wonder if there's any kind of history that anything that continued on, if
right. It's
you know, through the ground. That's really interesting.
Yeah, fascinating. Fascinating.
And that was great. Andrew, we appreciate you writing and sending that in. Oh! I just got a hand gesture, and it wasn't obscene. From our stand-in Andrew, our Standrew, Mr. Hubbard here, and he says there's more. So let's carry on, sir.
I had my 40th birthday at Reds Park Hotel in August of 2009 for old time's sake. And it was the female staff there that told me about the ghost. And I told them about what had happened to me there 30 years before.
There you go.
Yep.
The staff told me of their own personal experiences. Lights going off and on. The odd sighting in room 5. A bride in white was seen. Again, as with the claims of the baby crying that made no sense to me at the time. I did a thorough research of the property and the Cardiff Road area and found out some very interesting things indeed. I found out from Bargoed Library and the local newspaper archives that Gladstone Villa dates back to 1900, and it was named after the former British Prime Minister, William Gladstone. I discovered the previous people that lived there, the Kimmiot family in 1924, the newly married couple Michael and Evelyn Kimmiot, and a son named Elvin Kimmiot. He died at the property just 4 months old, according to the archives of Cardiff newspaper, the Western Mail. This explained the baby my mother and grandfather heard in the bedroom.
Oh, man.
Mrs. Evelyn Kimmiot died in 1970, soon after I was born. Maybe this is why all the activity started. I also found that there was a monastery in Baldwin Street where my parents met and worked. And there is a property directly opposite the former Gladstone Villa property in Cardiff Road dating back to the 16th century.
Wow.
It is now a public house called the Rafa Club.
Hmm.
The what?
The Rafa Club, R-A-F-A. Oh. Okay, at the Rafa Club, a priest hide is said to be there, but it's sealed up. This explains the monk my mother saw.
Wow. Golly, man. It, again, the history and the things and the people that have lived in that area just adds a dimension to that that's just really, really fascinating to me. Really, really cool, man.
Yeah, this is just amazing. And the fact that he went back and did the research and this points out by the mere fact that we've addressed so many things that then are addressed, you know, just shortly after we state them. shows we don't read, we're treating these write-ins like we are our regular guest, is where we don't know the story until it's being told to us. So our responses are, you know, these are our normal, again, responses.
Yeah.
So great job with writing this, Andrew. This has been spectacular. So
I do just want to add a couple more things. What I've said here is true. I absolutely wouldn't share this if I couldn't possibly back this up, and I've used real names as I have nothing to hide.
Mm.
And all I have said can be verified by the family of those I have mentioned. Sadly, some of the people I have mentioned are no longer with us. I challenge any hardened skeptic and firm non-believer, and I can assure them that they will indeed most certainly question their belief system of this. I have no doubt at all whatsoever. In fact, I'm 100% positive. Also, you may Google this property. It is still there in Cardiff Road, Bargoed, Wells, United Kingdom, very near Caerphilly and Cardiff. This place needs to be thoroughly investigated, and it is well worth documenting. I'm quite serious about this and very sincere.
Wow, that's great, man.
That is awesome.
Yeah, he not only was it a compelling story, but it was really beautifully written and really helped paint those pictures of, you know, put you there in the time and place of everything. And
absolutely.
Just a great job, man. Really couldn't have asked for more, you know, for our first write-in story.
Yes.
Just phenomenal.
And well read, sir, as well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Great performance there.
That is fascinating, man.
Yeah, dude. That is we couldn't have asked for a better way to kick off this new portion that we've been wanting, you know, and to give people the opportunity to write in if they can't, you know, be interviewed. And, you know, and we use the term interview loosely because, you know, I mean, you guys listen, we don't really, we talk, we chat, we hang out. We don't really, you know, interview. That's not our style. So that was fantastic. And like, yeah, we're just, you know, we keep saying how awesome it was, how layered it was.
Well, you know, I pre-read the story before we came on and, you know, looked up the pronunciation of some of the local areas. And
I would have loved to hear your Oki impression of how you would have said these words, because we would have been way off, I'm sure.
Yeah. You know, the spelling on some of these, it would have been tough without Google Assistant and the actual, you know, you type it in and it tells you how to pronounce it. So, but yeah, I thought the story was great. I could just picture this old property in, you know, Wales and just people sitting around with a fireplace and, hearing these creepy noises above their head, and the whole family is just freaked out. Yeah. And I thought it was a great story. You know, thank God things like this don't happen to me. I don't think I could handle it, but wow.
Yeah,
I think a very interesting story.
That with that amount of activity, I think your choices are just to deal with it or to leave, you know. I mean, because there's just so much going on. Sounds like, you know, there's just so much going on all the time that you kind of just had to make it through it, you know. And it's cool because it's like, you know, this is somebody that lives, you know, in another country, and yeah, and but yet, you know, felt compelled to write in and share his experiences. And you know, if anything, it helps us all sort of understand that we all have these, you know, or most of us that have had these experiences, we share something together, you know?
I feel honored. I feel like, I don't know the right description. It's just really cool that we've reached across international boundaries and we've connected with somebody with this, you know. Yeah. Who we would have probably never met ever before. Mm-hmm. And it's just really cool. And so, you know, again, we, you know, just thank you, Andrew, for sharing this really cool story. And we really appreciate you writing it, being a part of the Weirdsville. So now we've got a Weirdsville UK. Yeah. I guess.
Yep. Yep, Weirdsville International.
That's awesome, dude. We can build an airport now. So, oh, Jeff, I also almost forgot, but Andrew sent in a postscript type message saying that they're in the mountains near, did you say Caerphilly? Is that how you said it? The Caerphilly.
That's correct. That is correct. Mountains.
There is tale of a Yeti, Bigfoot, Sasquatch-type creature.
Ooh.
Wow.
That's very exciting.
Yeah, you might have to do some digging on that.
And I'm going to, yeah, I'll definitely look that up, see what we can find on that. Or maybe an idea for a trip next summer.
Hey, you know.
Yo, that'd be amazing. Andy, we're coming to stay at your house, man.
If it's not there, then the haunted hotel. So.
Yeah.
Well, that is very exciting. That sounds really cool. I'll look into that, see what I can come up with.
Great. Well, hey, everybody, this is, you know, we'll take this time right now to just remind you that you can write in your stories. You can write them in if you don't want to be interviewed on air. We totally understand. And it's a whole other dimension. And we think that it's a cool way to do this and to be a part of it, you know, be part of the podcast, because, you know, we need your stories and we love hearing them. So don't hesitate any longer. Jump on in and clack it out on the keyboard. That would I clack it, kind of makes that sound. So that's what I'm going with. I said it. It's there. That's what I'm going with. Hey, Barry.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a goat sucker?
What?
Goat sucker. Chupacabra.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever seen one of those?
I haven't seen one personally, but I've heard about them.
Yeah, me too. If anybody's got a goat sucking story, wait, if you got a goat sucker story, we want to hear it. If you got a Bigfoot story, we want to hear it. If you got a Loch Ness Monster story, or a Lake Champlain story, or Ogopogo story, or an Oingo Boingo story, wait, that was an 80s band. Anyway, you got a weird cryptid story, we want to hear it.
I didn't even know what a cryptid was, man.
Yeah, dude, cryptids. They're like the animals that haven't been necessarily proven by science. They're the ones on the edge. You know, they're not necessarily known animals, but they're known animals. We don't have the bodies or anything like that. So they're kind of like half myth, half story, based in reality, but still in that weird mystery area that we don't know about yet. Cryptids are fun. And the girl, the babysitter girl, she picked up the phone and there was a policeman on the other side. And he said, "We've tracked the phone call and it's coming from inside the house."
Whoa.
Yeah, dude.
I love those urban legend stories.
Dude, I do too. And you remember the one where the girl, it's always the babysitter or it's the kids making out in Lover's Lane, but there's the one with the girl comes up and she finds the kids are watching TV and she turns them around and their face has SpaghettiOs.
Oh, man. Or the hook guy. Remember the hook guy? Oh,
the hook. The hook was hanging from the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you got a story that is similar to any of those awesome urban legends, we want to hear it. Because, you know, those urban legends, man, they started off as somebody's true life weird story. It's got to be true somewhere. Well, fantastic. Jeff, thanks again for joining us. And thank you, the listeners out there. Thanks for joining us again. I've said it 1,000 times. Andrew, thank you for writing in. That was a fantastic story. And just a reminder to everybody out there, you too can write in to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. You can use our email. It's whatsyourweirdemail@gmail.com. You know, you can also call us up. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. We feel like we should mention it more often, but you can call us up on the hotline. That number is 513-909-9821, and you can leave us a message there. It's a 3-minute message, but you can leave as many as you like. You can tell us a story there, or you can just give us an idea how to contact you and what you want to hear, or you can give us a review there, or a shout-out, whatever you want to do. It's there for your use. So, yeah, so thanks again, everybody. It's been awesome. Barry?
Yeah, it's been incredible. This is the first time that I feel like, you know, we've gotten some folks from across the pond that have been interested in what we're doing. And it's just such a cool feeling to know that, you know, that people are listening from different parts of the world. And we're super, super excited to have Andrew tell his story and more than that, let us interpret it, which is fun. And Jeff did a great job with that. And we can't wait to do more.
And we've got some more coming down the line. So awesome. Fantastic. And everybody out there, thanks for listening. Be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.